This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 554. I am Brian Kilby, and with me this week, as always, we have our jolly RFC crew, starting with the jolliest one of all, Chris.
Wait, he's the jolliest one?
And the second most jolly, Matt.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Then Don. Don's kind of jolly. Diecast. Don's tired, people.
I'm happy to be here, so I guess I'm jolly.
Thank you. Thank you, and Rob.
Hi. I have to be jolly because it's my birthday on Friday.
Happy early birthday. You need a short URL for your Amazon wish list.
You could make me one.
Okay. By the end of the show, what is it? tfradio.net/Chris List.
Chris Wish.
Okay.
Chris List. One word will work. tfradio.net.
Do you want a Megatron head?
Nice.
Happy birthday.
No, it's okay. You can keep it. And Paladin agrees I am the jolly one.
I think you're pretty jolly.
I try not to, but, you know, sometimes I'm tired.
So, guys, guess what's happening in about a month?
My aunt's birthday.
Cool. Happy birthday to her. How old is she?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
It's
impolite to ask. How about that?
That's true.
Does it have to do with that invitation we got from Hasbro today?
Yes, Toy Fair is 1 month away, says Diecast, who I'm quoting verbatim. Will any surprise survive the next 4 weeks? Probably not.
No, that part's mine. I wrote that.
Okay. Yeah. And we're going to be there live, giving you the latest news, capitalized, as it happens.
Yeah, you can tell when Diecast part kicks in because the capitalization doesn't make any sense.
I like it, though. News as it happens. That should be our tagline. Seriously, I like that. I'm going to steal it. News as it happens. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio and join us for our live stream that we do every year. It's the Super Bowl of Transformers podcasting.
And let's just hope that we have something left to be surprised by.
Thanks,
by that
Don.
Point.
Hey, there's going to be product
trying to hype this.
There's going to be product we didn't see because we have the Bumblebee movie coming out, which we should see product for that. We have whatever the continuation of RID is, we should see product for that, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's scheduled for late 2018, so that may be a summer fall Comic-Con kind of deal. I mean, we're probably going to get to see what the U.S. deco for Blastoff looks like, see exactly what kind of appendage accessory he comes with, whether it's Combiner Wars or whether it's Power of the Primes.
Oh, man.
We might even get a look at another figure, which is in the notes, so I will not go any further on talking this
up. I want to speculate real quick on that Blastoff thing. He should come with probably Power of the Primes, because most people will be swapping him out with the Combiner Wars version, and you can just reuse that, right?
You can use U.S. Blastoff's hand-foot gun.
So he should come with Power of the Primes, I would think.
Well, unless the hand is gang molded and they have no choice but to make it.
Yeah.
Some of the parts are gang molded to the figures.
Though possibly not in this case, since he was, of course, a Takara original, so it's probably not gang molded with any hand foot gun.
Except Blastoff did have a unique hand foot gun.
Oh, you're right. Jeez. Well, tune into our Toy Fair podcast and we'll see which one it is.
Aren't there antibiotics?
I'm pretty sure when they did the Computron set and Strafe is a retool of Blastoff, that same hand was in the set but assigned to Lightspeed, I want to say, but it was still with that group of mold.
Isn't there a specific antibiotic for hand foot gun disease?
Probably.
Yeah, I think there is. Pretty sure. So I didn't get jack this week other than snow. I was supposed to get like an inch and we got like 7 inches. So I'm snowed in.
Yeah.
But did anybody get anything? Diecast, looks like you got a box of Taobao.
Yes, I did. I got my Power Baser Optimus Prime or Power Baser.
Finally.
Yeah. But it came with this little neat accessory and it has a little matrix there with a jewel in it. And it says Fans Hobby on the front. And if you push that matrix, it opens up and has a really nice Matrix Inside that came with it as like a free gift for pre-ordering. Really nice. And then, you know, it's got the smaller Matrix on the one side and the bigger Matrix on the other side in this beautiful silver with a blue jewel. And it's a really cool accessory, a really nice box that they included it in.
The box is always the best part.
Yeah. And then I already have had the DX9 worn pocket slag, but the tolerances aren't that great. Like, the legs are very loose and very, like...
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a knockoff that... I believe it's the MT line that we keep getting. And I thought, let me see...
Floor polish is cheaper.
Or any better on that. Well, it's also an upscale. Because makes it like deluxe size. And I really kind of like it.
If you add enough floor polish, the original one would get taller too.
But no, his joints...
What did that run? It actually looks very nice.
Yeah, his legs are actually better. There are better tolerances on this. I forget what he ran... I mean, it's always in yuan, so
yes,
you know that's why I have a hard time calculating everything. But
it's not just because you're really bad with your money.
Yeah, I think he's around like $20.
I can't talk this week.
So. I mean, I shouldn't, but I do.
I can, but I mean, it's appropriate. He's the host of There Goes My Money. It's required.
Yes. The problem is, though, he doesn't know exactly where his money went. He just knows that it's gone.
Well, you know, he knows receipts. He knows when it goes, and that's the requirement for the catchphrase, you know.
And going with more knockoffs, I got these two guys, which are the first two of the Protectobots, the Make Toys ones, but these are upscaled, and they're roughly masterpiece sized.
Yeah, those are by Wajang, aren't they?
They're by Yes Model.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. I also got Sunstreaker.
Do you like it?
And I like it a lot. I really like how the backpack cleans up. The way the panels flip around, which I don't think they had to do. He's great transformation, and you know he's a masterpiece because he has a masterpiece butt flap.
He does. So how do you like it compared to Sunsurge?
Oh, he's hands down better.
He is, yeah.
Way better.
Not that Sunsurge is bad. It's just, it's so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also been collecting the knockoff clear generation toy limbs or robots.
I can't wait for you to get all of those and finally put it together and for it to just like crush under its own weight.
Yeah, probably. But this is the fourth one now, so I'm waiting for the two center ones, and then I'll be able to combine
them. How are those, Diecast? I mean, how are they?
They're not great, but they're not like complete junk.
So where do you store all this stuff?
A little over here, a little over there, a little up there. They're just everywhere.
I mean, you can see stuff on the floor behind him.
Yeah.
They're kind of everywhere.
He buys like 10 times as much as I do, and like,
and never sells any of it.
Yeah,
rarely.
He burns it as often as he sells it.
Yeah,
I got Grotusk from ToysRUs.com.
Groovy. Did yours come with everything?
Yeah. Did mine come? I don't know. I didn't open it up, so it could have.
You should do that. Yeah, you should do that while you're still within the return window.
Yeah.
And Jason still has some spare parts left.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, matter of fact, you should do it on stream after the show. That would be great.
Actually, yeah.
I also got, these are the DX9 worn pocket knockoffs of the Seeker molds. So I got both sets of the Seeker molds. And I really like the...
How much? Side. Any idea?
For both?
Or whatever.
I think it was like $40 for six jets.
Are they upscaled as well?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Who makes that? Which bootlegger does those?
Transfer Pocket Toys.
Have you ever had any of those before? Like, what's the quality like?
The quality, I did take one of the jets out. Tolerances are all really good. Just as good as the DX9, the clear Starscream that I have.
Okay.
So not bad.
Of course, when we ask, you know, what the quality of these bootlegs is like, we probably have to keep in mind 50-50 chance that it's the same factory using the same stuff, like all the same materials and toolings to just make these and sell them off-label.
Yeah,
right. As long as it's a better quality than the broken English warning on the bottom of the package, which I just love. Oh, that's like the
best part.
Yeah.
I got another Springer.
How many is that now?
This is, well, technically it's number 3. Number 4 has been in shipping for a while. That's the Fans Toys one. So I haven't gotten that one yet. This one, when I took it out of the box, it had white powder all over it. Like they were doing, I don't know what that white powder's from.
I may actually know this. Did the plastic look like kind of dull, not particularly glossy? And did it have like a kind of weird rubbery feel to it?
I didn't feel a rubbery feel, but some of the plastic is just regular, not shiny plastic, just regular dull plastic. So
yeah, because I have had some experience with toys just where the titanium white part of their pigment just separates out of the toy and leaves the plastic feeling weird and looking not as vibrant as it should. So it could be that's what that is.
Yeah.
Or they were doing lines off of it.
Yeah.
He was about the price of a Voyager figure, which is one of the reasons I picked him up.
Dang.
I would not pay full retail for this. It is not a good figure. The headlight was falling off in the box, and the tabs don't really want to tab in on the legs at all.
Which company is that one from?
Toy World.
Really?
Yeah. It's. I'm not a big Toy World fan. The one product that really surprised me were their cone heads. I really like them. And then I think the next thing I got was their Cosmos, and that was garbage. And this is garbage. And their RC looks to be garbage, and their cup looks to be garbage. So
I'm detecting a pattern here.
Yeah. Yeah, diecast is biased against Toy World.
Now, if it was Fans Toys, he'd probably...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Fans Toys.
I also got the cassette bots.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And they came with a card or a coin.
I need those.
Oh, nifty.
Which is pretty cool.
I do kind of want them. It's just almost $25 to $30 a piece per cassette is just... It's just more than I want to pay.
I got my Iron Factory Onslaught.
Mine is still foreign origin post is preparing shipment. It's been about 2.5 weeks, so I'm still waiting for mine so I can combine the legs.
What is that sound?
It's that noise that happened a couple of weeks ago. I don't get it.
And then the last thing I think that I got is Pinchar, the Fans Project one, the convention exclusive that I ordered direct from them with the little Diaclone driver. So,
oh, nice.
Hopefully I get to open up him. So now I have 3 of the 4 with the Diaclone driver. The only one I didn't get yet is Grimlock, which I need to eventually pick up. But I should let my wallet recover a little bit.
Now I can't edit it out of the show. So in the show notes, I put in 15 minutes in, Rumble edit. And Chris put in parentheses, Frenzy edit.
Well, we don't know what color that was, so we can't say whether it was a Rumble or a Frenzy. And even if we knew what color it was, we still couldn't say whether it was a Rumble or a Frenzy.
The one thing we do know, it was the enemy of the podcast.
Very nice.
Nicely done.
I'll accept that, Don.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all I got this week.
Unfortunately, we've been doing this for 20 minutes.
Rob, this in the ongoing saga of Grotesque, I hear that it's resolved.
It is resolved thanks to Jason Kirk. I have I have Fengul, who is the nicest paint job I think I have ever seen on a Titan Master. It looks great. It is installed in Grotesque where it belongs. Grotesque is complete. His one claw is a tiny bit loose, but I knew that, and it's not like falling off all the time, so I'll take it.
Nice. Matt.
Okay, I got a bunch of stuff this week. So I got the unofficial guide to vintage Transformers, 1980s through 1990s.
Cool.
Very nice.
That came via Amazon yesday, tfradio.net/Amazon. I got two Power of the Primes leader toys.
Which one?
Yeah. One that's very so sad.
I got, I was really hoping I would like Rodimus more than everybody else. Sadly, I cannot say that to be true.
He's not bad, but he's definitely not as good as we all wanted him to be when we knew he was coming out. It's just
Don had to try really hard to get through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's way too big in robot mode. He looks like Rodimus Prime meets the Juggernaut. Like, he's just gigantic. And when I was putting him in Winnebago mode, those tabs did not want to go together at all. I fought this thing to get it into one piece. It has been in this mode ever since I got it. I've got it in vehicle mode once and have not touched it since. It's actually sat on the shelf over there ever since last week.
How are you finding the stickers?
Terrible.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I got Optimus Prime, and you know, as this was coming out, I said, you know, it looks like a fun toy. The cab, you know, looks bad. It looks worse than I thought it did, but it is still a fun toy, and it makes a great little Orion PAX, and that's what I wanted. So I'm pretty happy with that one.
Hey Matt, do one thing. There's an alternate transformation floating around for that cab, where if you take Orion PAX's forearms and fold them down, they kind of soft lock into the trailer. It's not really official, but you know, you can just fold the arms down to have a little bit less just shoved up back there. So there is a slightly alternate transformation that some people do like.
And I got three Takara Legends figures. I got little Bumblebee with creepy looking Headmaster Spike.
Yes.
And man, that is That rear paint transfer through the transparent plastic does not work at all.
It makes you think about the Leonard with RC and just be like, wow, maybe that silver wasn't a bad choice after all.
Yeah, maybe the Cobra Commander option was the way to go. So I got Takara Legends Slug Slinger, so I now have all three. And I mean, he transforms almost exactly the same way Misfire does. I'm fine with that. It worked then. It works now. It's a great figure. It looks great. Colors are awesome. I got Takara Legends Octane with little transparent Headmaster Ghost Starscream.
Nice.
And again, the deco on this looks great. It brings a tear to my eye thinking that, you know, starting with Power of the Primes, we're just going to get the same stuff from Takara that we do from Hasbro.
Horrible stickers and all.
Yeah. And I got four master.
What?
Oh my gosh.
So, since I bought the anime colors Sideswipe off Kilby, I went ahead and got anime colors Red Alert to go with him.
I need that. I need to get that.
Nice.
Yeah, it is. It is really nice. My original masterpiece, Red Alert, had some paint issues anyway, so I needed the upgrade.
What's the MP number for that?
14, I think.
Okay.
It's like it's 14 plus or whatever. The same scheme they use for Sideswipe.
Just checking Amazon Japan real quick.
And I got the reissue of Masterpiece Black Convoy, who looks really, really nice. I always love that the teal paint accents on the black. Always looks good. And I got Masterpiece Sunstreaker, who was just fantastic, like possibly my favorite masterpiece to date. Just fantastic. I am so glad that I didn't, you know, get impatient and waste, you know, money on a fake Masterpiece Sunstreaker like some people did.
I think it's my second favorite after like MPO4.
Which one's 4?
Megatron.
Oh.
And most importantly, I got the Masterpiece cassette kits. I got Enemy and Wing Thing in Masterpiece form now, and they are fantastic.
Like, wait. Is MPF4 the trailer?
Oh, yeah. Isn't Megatron, like, 5?
MP5.
MP5
is Megatron.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Stupid trailer.
And no, that probably is a better Masterpiece than Megatron.
That's true.
And Masterpiece Stripes, and Chris, look at all this orange Masterpiece love.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to have to probably throw myself off of something if they make a Sunder.
Yeah. And the new mold Masterpiece Night Stalker, not my favorite of the Masterpiece cassettes. Sorry to say. I mean, it's not terrible. I don't hate it. It is kind of tiny. I mean, look at him next to Stripes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Way
well, there's only so much mass to work with.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
The thing that really gets me is the missiles molded in where they are. They're like not molded onto the hips. They're molded into the hips. So if you know you were trying to shoot something like that, you would just shoot yourself and explode. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
Maybe they got like little kicker motors to throw them out from the body before they, you know, actually launch.
Stop using your imagination. But,
I'm.
That's right. Like, I'm a Transformers fan. I can't do that.
Yeah. I like it well enough, but it is sadly my least favorite of the Masterpiece cassettes thus far. And thankfully, that's all that I got this week.
Yeah. Wow.
What do you got coming next month?
Fortress or Grand Maximus and Great Shot.
Oh dear God.
No, those are March.
Oh, thank God.
I need to like get my tax return.
Next month is G2 Megatron though.
Oh yeah, I do have that coming.
I dropped my pre-order for that one. I decided I didn't want it.
My toy money right now is going to cancer therapy for my cat.
How's he doing?
Not great. But you know, circle of life. Anybody else get anything?
I didn't get anything. Yeah. Like I said, I'm still waiting for my Onslaught to come in and nothing else. I'm kind of stuck between pre-orders and I need to ship my pile of loot, but everything there is just one GoBot Psy-Kill and the Disney Afternoon figures, and that's old news at this point.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, if you're looking for something to, you know, go out to the store and get, there are some classic Voltron Lion Force out there that you can go pick up.
I can also go out and throw myself in front of a bus, but I mean, I don't plan on doing that.
Don, that is so inconsiderate. Do you know how much you're going to delay those commuters?
I'm sorry, I'm just, Lion Force doesn't do anything for me anymore. I'm really...
Did it ever?
At one point, yeah.
1987, which is our year for this week in history.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did buy the Trendmasters metal one. I still have it, and I like it. It's just, I just want a vehicle Voltron.
Yeah, well, you're not getting that.
No, not here.
Probably ever.
Yeah.
There's a moderately well-made Kmart bootleg from about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, I have the Miracle Productions one, but I would like to see an official Voltron and vehicle Voltron as well.
Well, you could probably get something out of Japan in that theme. I don't think they hate it as much as America does.
Yeah, they might get around to Dairogger 15 eventually. I mean,
isn't there like a quick change Tuesday morning vehicle Voltron running around somewhere?
Probably basically the same thing as the Kmart one we were referring to.
Same, okay.
Possibly.
I mean,
the Kmart one was the full size one, so I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure I have it, the one I have is tiny. This is a box somewhere. Okay, so this week in history, 1987, the strategy guide, and I'm going to completely veer off from this in a second. The strategy guide for Mystery of Convoy is published in Japan. Now, what would be interesting is if our buddy M. Cipher actually did a strategy guide for Mystery of Convoy, and the reason I mentioned that is back 10, 12 years ago, he used to, as I think basically his primary source of income, write strategy guides for like Brady Games. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I have one he wrote, actually.
Kingdom Hearts.
Mega Man Battle Network 6.
Yeah. That was the weirdest thing, like going into a store. And
yeah, that was a weird game.
Yeah, it's a weird game, but just saying, oh, this is Greg. Oh, neat. So I don't remember how he got into that gig, but he wrote quite a few. And that is my tenuous relationship with strategy guides right there.
It's sort of interesting. They made a strategy guide for... Apparently, it didn't work because nobody likes playing the game, even with the strategy guide. So apparently, it wasn't a...
Well, strategy guide doesn't really help this game because there's no winning this game.
Was it like a pamphlet? Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine you having a fully fleshed out...
I think they did it as a manga, actually.
That is awesome.
Makes as much sense as anything.
Now, with that being the case, that has to be something that the wiki has, or that sounds like something that would be a holy grail. As
I think it is on their want list.
Nice. Oh God, that may be like my one contribution to the wiki. Because as long as the wiki's been around, and the fact that I know everybody who basically runs it, and I've been friends with them for years, I don't think I've made one contribution to the wiki ever.
They're probably fine with that, Brian.
They're fine with that. Maybe I'll buy it and donate it.
Well, you know,
good luck finding one.
I'll go to Japan. No, I won't. Go ahead, Don.
Now, say you could make like a wiki page of all of your trolling through the years so people will know what to look for, you know, in the future if they see something that's too good to believe. Is that something Brian might have done?
Let's go ahead and jump to the news. Power of the Primes, blast off packaging art, plus studio series artwork for Optimus Prime and Starscream. Okay. Rob, you wrote this article, so what do we know?
We know that there's packaging art for Blast Off and Studio Series Prime and Starscream. That really is just about the entirety of it at the moment. It kind of looks to me like the art would go well in one of those nice fold-up boxes like RC or Grotesque came in, but that's just a guess on my part based on nothing. They might be released like that, but speculation.
You know what I think they're referencing here? I think they're referencing the best Transformers movie ever, Revenge of the Fallen.
In the studio series packaging? Or?
Yeah. It looks very like second movie Prime and second movie Starscream.
Well, that is exactly what those two Voyagers are.
But our Prime's forearms correct?
We have to ask Eric.
Yeah.
He's in the chat right now. Eric, are these arms right?
Yeah.
Let us know.
So up next, May Mayhem Returns. Distributor listing for Blastoff and Repugnus. Chris, you wrote this article. Why don't you tell us about it?
So a distributor website has listings for Generations Deluxe Special Edition or some combination of those words for Blastoff, which we already had indication was coming through the leaks, and also a Deluxe Repugnus. So that's kind of an interesting little surprise for us. It looks like we're going to get the full set of Monster Bots in the same scale together. The only thing we don't really know right now is how they're going to execute that. I have a theory in the article. You can go to tformers.com and read up on my thoughts on that. I think they can do, again, a retool from Grotesque. They wouldn't have to go too far off of what that already is to hit those marks. And I even speculate in there about another Battle Beast they could base the Titan Master off of.
The other popular theory for this is that it could be based off of the Terracon mold Blot. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a compelling thought to me because it would be compatible with this year's toys the same way that Blastoff is being a Combiner Wars mold. So, you know, it's going to drive people crazy if they have two monster bots that are headmasters and one that is a combiner. We'll see exactly how that shakes out. Maybe we'll find out about that at Toy Fair.
Considering we're currently being driven by the crazy that we have two deluxes and one Titan Master, I think it's a step up.
That's true.
I could totally see the Blot thing. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's personally not what I'm hoping for to happen, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, especially since there is a Battle Beast that's just like perfect color-wise to be Repugnus's head.
So we got official photos and I guess a real reveal of Transformers Authentics. Other than people tweeting out the news, I didn't see a lot of response to this in these photos.
The response I see is mostly negive.
Yeah.
That's why I never say anything.
I mean,
you don't have something good to say.
It's one of those things where we already knew going in this was happening, but we didn't have an official source. So I guess we sort of eased into it.
Yeah. There is some speculation going around because of product numbers, I believe it is, that the authentics in the two different size classes may actually be the Project Storm that came out in the listings a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm.
So the prices match up at $5 and $10. So
Project Storm, it's like a snowstorm. They're all just going to pile in at the stores and cover the shelves. And
on the other hand, okay, so like, from our perspective as collectors, the things we expect to see in toys, you have to keep in mind we're looking at, in the $5 price point, 4.5-inch tall figures, full Transformers. Those are going to be appealing for a part of the market segment. You know, parents, grandparents, they're going to look at those and see a better value than the generation stuff. That's what this is really aiming for. And I think it's going to work better than a lot of people would really want to expect it to. It's not for us. I'm not saying like we should be all in on this. Certainly no shame if you are, but
yeah.
This is mostly to target the same thing that Cyber Battalion was designed for in the international markets, where it's a it's something that's at a lower price point and has a higher shelf value. But we're getting basically a homegrown version here instead of the Walgreens exclusive Cyber Battalion imports.
So I'm looking closely at the photo of Bumblebee, and there's just, I'm thinking it's the paint apps on the eyes, but they just look weird.
Oh, he looks like crazy. He is crazy Bumblebee.
Bumblebee actually, that kind is of not appeals. The best looking out of the batch, I will just say that.
Yeah, he looks like he needs a nap. I mean, got serious bags under his eyes.
I just got hit over the head.
I have been awake for 72 hours and I have had enough of this.
Oh man, I know that feeling.
But yeah, the Bumblebee and the Optimus Prime, I'm not particularly big on. I kind of like the Grimlock, and if I see it somewhere for $10, I may do that. But it is nice to see that the Optimus Prime in particular did grow a couple of extra joints from the 4.5-inch tall version. So,
although Bumblebee didn't.
No.
The big one doesn't have any leg articulation.
Yeah.
I think that Grimlock would actually probably look pretty good if you added paint to it.
I agree. I'm kind of sad that Mickey is satisfied with Power of the Primes Grimlock, because I bet you could do some great stuff with that.
I mean, for whatever this is going to cost, I could always buy one and just make him paint it so you can see what the result of that would be anyway.
Well, it's going to cost $10, so that's not bad.
I don't dislike these offhand, but I don't know where they would fit in my collection.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, and one that I have to remind myself of frequently, not just with this, but with a lot of things that, like, huh, that's interesting. I kind of like to have one of those. Well, how does it actually interact with my collection? It doesn't. Okay, I need to not do that then. That only works about 30% of the time, but...
Well, here's one thing that I find kind of interesting is they're coming out with this line when they already have a somewhat similar line showing up at Walgreens that I don't think are Walgreens exclusives. The two that I have do not have a Walgreens exclusive label on them, and they do have a similar larger figure simple transformation line.
Aren't they available at Universal Studios or somewhere else?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
that was just a test to see how they would do.
I think that's very likely.
The other possibility here is also that, like, we know Walgreens has been for the last few years wanting to really expand their market penetration into toys. And this is something where they go to Hasbro and it's like, okay, we want more Transformers product that we can sell at a similar price point to what we already have on our shelves. And so this is the thing that's available. Nobody else is really picking up on it, but Walgreens wants to make more shelf space. So, you know, those can kind of go together the same way having them at Universal works.
Yeah, so they're pretty much not competing against each other between these two lines then, for the most part.
Yeah, I don't think that's how they're looking at it. And from that leak we had last year, there is, I think, Sideswipe and Shockwave Cyber Battalion figures coming out somewhere down the line too. So there's going to be more of that along with the Authentics, it looks like. Unless they end up folding them all under one banner eventually.
I think that would be possible. I would assume that once these come out, the Cyber Battalions would kind of go away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Cyber Battalions really were looking at a long lifespan in the U.S. because this is just porting over product that was designed for other international markets. It's existing product that they can bring over easily when there's a retailer that's interested in carrying them, like Walgreens presumably was.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Walmart is clearancing out Titans Return. Deluxes have been found for as low as like $7.
Mm-hmm. Now, as always, when we have a story like this, we need to, you know, have the provision here. Every Walmart does their discounts independently of each other, so your local Walmarts may vary or not even be participating at all. We had a story a couple weeks ago, month maybe, about the Robots in Disguise Warrior class toys being marked down. I never saw any of that in my local area and didn't see a lot more reports of that in general, but it's definitely worth taking a look at your Walmart if you're not snowed in right now.
My favorite example of that, of Walmart doing their own thing, was like 2 weeks after it hit shelves, I was able to get the Generations Armada Megatron on clearance for $20.
Oh, nice.
So my favorite example of this was when my Walmart was trying to clearance out G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra and actually marked up the figures.
Yeah.
They put the red stickers on them. They were not the retail price anymore. They'd marked them up to over $10 each.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm not sure what actually happened there.
They did that here as well. It was pretty awesome. So what else do we have going on? It looks like we have a running change for Power of the Prime Starscream identified. I haven't heard about this. What is this?
This just came up last night. Someone on Twitter actually directly addressed this to T-Formers. So a change has been identified on Power of the Prime Starscream where one of the posts on the back, the socket for it, has been remolded with slots in it, and now the backpack, as I understand it, is mounted at a slight angle, and between those two things, it's easier to get the jet to tab together the way it's supposed to. Apparently, the original version has had some difficulty getting all the parts to align and stick solidly.
So is this something that's clearly a variant, or is this like stress from use? How many people have found this new version?
This is the only case I know of so far, but it's very obviously a change of the molding, not like fracturing of the plastic.
I haven't had any problems with mine, although I didn't really mess around with mine.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
I haven't really been keeping up with, like, you know, fan response to the Starscream because I don't really have an interest in it myself, so I haven't really been motivated to read up too much on it. But if it makes it work a little bit better as a toy, that's, you know, a good variant to have out there. In the story, there is one product code, batch code listed to look for. So definitely anything after that should have this variant in the packaging. The batch codes are usually on the back panel toward one of the bottom corners.
I don't see how that can make much of a difference, but maybe I'm just not seeing something.
A little bit goes a long way.
It seems like having those slots cut in there now makes it so that the backpack piece can move back and forth a little bit so that it can actually reach where it needs to go, where the solid socket wouldn't let it move the right way.
Maybe there's more give to it.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
So we found out why Transformers Devastation basically disappeared from online.
Among other games.
Basically Activision no longer has the license to sell those games. So, I mean, happens all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always want to buy physical.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, a mystery solved. Iron Warrior IW-07 Strife non-transforming and official movie brawl figure prototype revealed.
Yeah, so remember last week we were talking about that non-transforming Transformers Prime Optimus Prime figure?
Yeah.
The same people.
I don't like this one at all.
I mean, like, if you could demonstrably say that this would be a, you know, big figure compared to the other stuff they're doing, like this should be, that'd be one thing, but there's nothing to indicate that it's not just like the same size as that Optimus Prime we saw already, which doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and it's the same size as the Ratchet.
And overall, mm-hmm. It just looks like too slim. It's not, it doesn't have the mass it really needs.
Yeah, he needs more bulk.
Setting the height aside.
It's so weird looking.
I don't get this one at all, just because we have a leader brawl, we have a Voyager brawl, we have a Deluxe brawl. I don't need a non-transforming brawl. Sorry.
I hate to say it. I don't get this company at all. I'm not really sure what they think they're doing. I mean, if there's a market for it, I hope they find it, but I'm not sure there is.
So, yeah, it's odd.
I can kind of see some of the movie stuff working through this, because you can get like a really high detail, high accuracy, well-articulated representation of that robot mode without needing to worry about engineering a transformation into it. Like, on that level, I could see there being something to this, but so far we've seen a Transformers Prime Optimus Prime, which I don't think anybody's really that interested in this format, a Ratchet, which apparently has been out for a while, but I've never even heard of, so I don't know anything about that specifically, and then this Brawl, which just, we all agree, looks wrong.
Wrong is a good way to put it. Mech Planet's Hot Soldiers HS-02, dear God. Unofficial Legends Optimus Prime prototype photos. I will never get over all of these darn designations. So it's a Legend class. What we're looking at, that almost looks like it's 3D printed. I'm assuming it probably is.
It could be.
This, of
course, they've been working on this for a while. This isn't the first time that we've seen this, but it's hopefully it's getting close, because I really wanted to go with my other Mech Planet stuff.
For a Legends class figure, it's very detailed. I mean, if you told me it was a deluxe toy, I would honestly believe you. Heck, if you told me it was a Voyager, I'd probably believe you.
It might be a stretch to say it's a legend size anyway, but that's what generally it's being identified as. I saw they had a picture of that Bumblebee next to what looked like the small Authentics Bumblebee, and there was not a ton of height difference on those. So I think these are on the large side of what we would call legends. Well,
that might be about deluxe sized.
That's the Bumblebee that Diecast has.
Yeah, here's the Bumblebee, and here's... We'll take him.
Up a little more.
So Prime's looks like probably he's got about 1 inch to 2 inches on that Bumblebee. So that's like something. It's in the low. Low direction.
Deluxe.
What? Yeah. Which Bumblebee is that? Is that part of this line?
No. The Hot Soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it looks nice.
The Bumblebee.
I've heard generally good things about this line. So
yeah, I really like the Ratchet and Ironhide. They're great. The sound wave that they did is really good. The Bumblebee is my least favorite so far.
The Bumblebee, like, it looks a little weird too. Like, the torso seems overly long.
Yeah.
He's very hollow. That can kind of happen when you base it on an actual Volkswagen Bug and not the Choro Q.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good point. And you can't put pennies on the back of it and push.
Exactly.
So, hey, but you know what? If you wanted to get CoroQ stuff, tfradio.net/Amazon, I bet there's plenty there, possibly.
What else is on tfradio.net/Amazon?
Your wish list.
Well, no, I was going to say power toothpaste.
So
energy toothpaste. That's so awesome.
So Chris tweeted that at me a couple days ago.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. And I wouldn't recommend buying it, honestly.
Yeah, I actually saw that on a blog called The Worst Things for Sale.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I immediately thought of you.
I appreciate that. It's... here's the thing. It tastes terrible.
What do you have to swallow the toothpaste to get it to work?
No. Like caffeinated gum works great, and you just absorb it. It doesn't taste good. This tube is tiny. It's like $15. At the very least, not much comes out of the tube when you squeeze it, so you're not going to
run through it too fast.
Yeah, but it works. I did it before recording.
I liked your idea on Twitter though about caffeinated mouthwash instead.
Yeah, I that makes sense, since normally like you keep mouthwash in for like a minute or something. Makes perfect sense. Or you could just use coffee as mouthwash.
Or you could just do lines of coffee, you know, and just get your caffeine that way.
That's you grind up the beans real good. That might work.
Well, no, with that you would get the instant coffee, because that's already
That's not coffee. That is not.
Okay,
no.
But if we're just talking about the caffeine delivery system, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
That's
great. But
all we want is just like a suspension of caffeine in something that Brian can ingest in some bizarre form.
So
that's literally all we're asking.
So we have the Massey attack list. Now we have Chris's wish list at Chris list on tfradio.net/Chris list. I need to come up with a list, not necessarily for me, but to share with the world, like all of the best caffeinated garbage that you can buy to ruin your body. And that would be on the
list.
Like that caffeine vape that Diecast found would be on there.
tfradio.net/buzzed.
I love that.
So weird. So I want to point out Diecast is vaping caffeine. Diecast is not a smoker and he is not a vapor, but he does have caffeine vape, and that weirds me out. So
I like this typo from Rodimus Supreme in the chat, powered caffeine. He meant to say powdered caffeine, of course.
Powered caffeine is so much better.
Yeah.
It's a diaclone version of caffeine.
Yeah, that's the next recolor of Power Baser.
But
the fire guts we called powered. That's what the fire guts we called.
Yeah.
Paladin raises an interesting point. Chrysalis isn't that helpful. There's like five of them on the network.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's Chrysalis, not Craigslist. There's a difference.
This is true. But
I probably won't murder you in a parking lot.
But that is true.
But we appreciate everybody out there who uses our Amazon link at tfradio.net/Amazon. It helps us pay for the show. So, Rob, what's on TFRMers this week?
Okay, well, first up, I wrote an editorial today. It's titled, Hasbro, Please Stop Sticking Us with Stickers. Because this has been... I have not seen anything in Transformers toy collecting that everyone agrees on in, well, possibly the whole time. Like, the whole time I've been doing it in you know, my adult life, I'm not sure I've seen something that everybody can get behind, and I'm not sure I've seen anybody that really likes these stickers. I've seen people that top out at tolerate, but so yeah, I wrote an editorial about why, what Hasbro uses stickers for, why it's not a great idea. Cited a lot of different people from different places that are not thrilled with them. So, you know, hopefully they will see it and take it to heart, but if not, just, you know, take a look. And, you know, feel free, if you get a chance to talk to them at Toy Fair or someplace else, ask them, is there any way we can do this besides stickers? Yes, politely.
Now, I'm pretty sure that all the, you know, fan site reps that are going to Toy Fair are very professional people, but I always want to put that caveat out there. When talking about something like this, please be polite and respectful in how you approach it, because that will go a lot farther than saying, these suck, stop doing it.
Yes, always. So, yeah, be nice.
Also, as far as people liking the stickers, I don't know of anybody who likes the factory applied stickers, which is the main point of this article. Hey, Mickey loves getting the stuff with the sticker sheets, though. He loves applying stickers to stuff.
Fair enough.
And that's one of the things I've seen in response to the general criticism of the stickers as a thing on these toys. Include them as sheets that we can choose to apply ourselves. They don't have to be omitted entirely, but don't factory apply them. Give us the option.
It's interesting to point that out, Chris, because looking at Rodimus, if the stickers were applied perfectly, they would not interfere with the transformation joint. The problem is, they're not professionally applied. They are professional, and they're done at the factory.
In the sense that somebody was paid to do it, they are professionally applied.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're not. They're skillfully probably trying applied? To. Yes, yeah. They're not skillfully applied. So obviously, one side on mine is a lot worse than the other side, because the other side, the stickers were actually placed in a better fashion. Mm. So a lot of the problems is how they're applying the stickers. So I don't think I would mind them as much if they allowed us to do them ourselves.
Yeah. I would just end up leaving them off altogether, 'cause I don't like applying stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, in that case,
a better grade of stickers that we could apply ourselves.
Yeah. Even if they can't go better quality for us, making them optional stickers lets us at least have an easier time when we decide to go with repro labels instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause that is something I go over in the editorial, the fact that, you know, I think a part of what had that led them to stickers was the G1 nostalgia that this design team obviously feels pretty hard, but the quality of stickers we are getting is not up to G1 grade. I mean, most of what we get in the outside box sets is foil on plastic, and they just roll right up. The one example I had from the Chaos on Velocitron set, Laser Optimus does actually have the classically, you know, the classic composition of a G1, G2 sticker. It is foil and paper. It's just that there's a lot more paper there than the old stickers. And so that trailer, mine is passable because I lucked out. A lot of those I've seen came already torn from the factory. It's the stickers as they're being applied, as they're being composed, are not a good solution for the problem of enhancing the deco of these toys.
You would think that it would somehow be possible with Hasbro using outside vendors, as Chris's Jazz a few weeks ago showed they do use outside vendors, that somehow Hasbro might work with Toy Hacks and have Toy Hacks create the labels for inclusion as sheets, and the money they save on labor without them being applied at the factory could help pay for that, and you would have better labels and better customer interaction You know, as far more customer satisfaction, I should say.
So
it just seems like there could be something that would work out for everybody's benefit, and it's not being as a pursued as a possibility.
So I think there probably would be some marginal savings in not having the factory applying the stickers at the time the toys are being put together, because that would be less labor if all someone has to do is drop a sheet in a box instead of sit there and actually run stickers all over the toy. But I think working with Toy Hacks to have repro labels quality stickers included or applied to the toys either way would result in higher cost than the solution they're working with now, just because the Toy Hack stuff is so much of a higher level of quality, a higher grade of material and workmanship than the factory applied stickers we're currently getting. I don't think it would be financially viable to actually partner with them in the way you're suggesting. I'd love to see something like that happen, but I really think it wouldn't solve any of the problems that Hasbro's trying to address with what they're doing right now.
I agree. And I don't think it would necessarily cost out just to have the higher quality stickers, unfortunately, because right. I mean, I've seen products come out of, you know, out of China, out of Asia, with stickers of that quality. The Gundam Universal Unit toy, like the little candy toy I got last week with my Grotusk, with most of my Grotusk. it has, you know, Bandai can make foil stickers of the quality we're used to on G1. Most of the foil seals on Gundam toys, Gundam models, rather, are pretty much identical to G1 quality. It's a known technology. It's just the question of whether or not it can be afforded on the scale of a Voyager or a Leader. And unfortunately, I think the answer is no. So it's time to be looking at some other solution for Deco for those. Also on T-Formers, we have got XV's review of this week's issue of Optimus Prime, The Falling Chapter 1.
The art's better than the story, put
yeah,
that way.
Yeah, I'll go
not
with that.
Not the fall it's, in, it's the falling.
Yes.
Right.
It's another Kazama and Josh Bertram issue, so if that's what you're looking for in Optimus Prime, it is probably worth picking up. This looks kind of like it's leading up to the
pre-comic book day issue.
Yeah, it all kind of looks like it may be John Barber squaring everything away before the Unicron thing does whatever it does. So
when is free comic book day? I have to make sure
May?
I get that.
It's always the first Saturday in May.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I miss it every year because I work on Saturdays. So I'm
going to some nerd sure. You are diecast with the hundreds of toys you get each week. I'm kidding, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
I need to get that Unicron free comic.
I get them on Comixology. That's how I get.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do go up on Comixology eventually.
Yeah, that's how I do it. And okay, anything else?
Just one last thing. Transformers at the Moon is once again releasing their collection of G1 audio recordings, and this time it is dialogue and in many cases deleted dialogue from A Plague of Insecticons, and that's what we got.
That's cool. Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 133, The Reformatting. This week in Awesome, Rob reflects on the Beast Machine's Happy Meal and the difficulty he had using the included coupon, which included the high blood pressure tester at Walmart and Rob running from it.
I remember that also, coupon. That was what, like, it was, you could use it at Walmart, you could use it anywhere. When was the last time we had a Transformers coupon? Was it that?
Well, Rob has one right now.
Well, yeah, but that's a different thing. The last time we got one was Transformers Animated Happy Meals.
Oh, okay.
No, there was... Okay, so Walmart had a coupon for Dark of the Moon.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Cause
I remember because I used that to get the exclusive Deluxe Optimus they had.
Mm.
I don't remember what the discount was. It might have been like $2.
I might
which
have
I think it. Was... I think the Beast Machines coupon was also a $2 or $3 value.
Yeah, the animated one was $5. I remember that. That was a pretty solid coupon desire. Or maybe it was $2. I may be misremembering.
They should bring back coupons and you can earn them through the app somehow. That would be pretty cool. You know, modern day coupons for
So like a reverse microtransaction.
What's that?
Like a reverse microtransaction.
Oh yeah, here's money. Here's money. Here's money.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, the kids go in the Transformer app and then they do something in the app and then they earn a coupon and they're like, oh, I can buy it, go to the store and buy a Transformers figure. It might work. It's good marketing.
Cool.
They're leaving money on the table.
I mean, as much as they're making fun of it, I don't think he's entirely wrong.
I think it's neat. I think it's an interesting idea. I don't think they'll do it, but it's interesting.
That's why I said he's not entirely wrong.
I mean, they're always trying to combine the modern era with toys. So let's make this happen.
Well, in the earlier days of BotCon, up until probably the early 2000s, a lot of people were saying bring back robot points because and that's kind of something that they could do now is they could give robot points back again, and then you could send them in. And then
plus $13.95 shipping and handling.
For example, you know, just so many points and you can get a coupon from Hasbro. It would probably for Hasbro Toy Shop, but I'm just saying, you know, they could do something like that if they didn't mind being a little combination of new and retro, but you know, that's again something else they would have to create.
That's probably the logistics in the redemption process. Diecast's idea is probably a little bit more accessible because that could all be done through the app.
Yeah.
Because a lot of places already, they will have like QR code coupons that they just scan off your phone at a register. So that cuts out a lot of the in-between process. It's not as nostalgically fun as redeeming robot points in some capacity, but you know.
If you think I'm right, just tweet at TF Radio pound Transformers app coupon, and maybe we can make this happen if we get enough people to retweet it.
No, we totally can't, but you know, whatever. The other thing worth mentioning with this being awesome episode is just like the Beast Machines Happy Meal toys were such good Happy Meal Transformers.
Yeah,
like, those were the last really good ones we got.
That's true. It's true. Okay, Don, continue. Sorry.
And also remember, zonebase.org is pretty dope. RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 37, Campaign Postmortem, Pathfinder. This week, Dusty, Brian, and Mike do lessons learned on an entire campaign. How was your weekend, Episode 27? Plans for 2018. On this episode, Wendy and Brian ask listeners to chime in on topics they'd like to hear about in 2018.
Diecast, you had a review or two up this week, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I had one, right? It was the Wave 3, The Last Night Bumblebee, which, as far as I'm aware of, never hit U.S. shelves yet. But at HasCon in, you know, September of 2017, they said it was coming. So, interestingly enough, my Walmart did do their reset in the toy aisle. I walked through it yesterday, and they still have spots for the Last Night product, specifically the deluxe class figures. So I guess there's a chance we could still see a wave or two. It's just, wow, it's taken a long time to get those waves out.
Yeah. In the chat, people are talking about the hashtag Diecast suggested. It sounds like Diecast wants to pound some Transformers coupons. Love that.
It would probably be limited to one per mobile device or one per login or something.
I think it's the fact that you said pound instead of hashtag.
Oh, that's true. Hashtag, sorry.
Pretty funny. Okay, so remember you can find this at tfradio.net/554 with all the links that we mentioned in the show. You can leave us a voicemail, 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994. What is it? 6268.
It's in the show notes.
I'm doing it off the top of my head. We're on Twitter at tfradio, and I'm personally on Twitter at bkilby. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. And also on Instagram at TF Podcast. John DeLuna, who is not here, can be found at ThatJohnD. Rob Springer can be found at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter and at ZoneBase.org. Chris is at ChrisRTXV on Twitter. His birthday wish list is at TFRadio.net/ChrisList. And you can find his Flickr account at Flickr.com/ChrisRTXV. Matt, who will also not give his information, is at MELLLVARR on Twitter, at Melvar on Twitter, Diecast.
Oh, please follow me on YouTube. I know I say this every week, but please, apparently there's some stuff going down with YouTube. Please follow me on YouTube at RFC Reviews.
How many subscribers do you have?
I think it's more than we do, actually.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, follow him and watch his videos, because the requirements to keep monetization are over 1,000 followers and over 4,000 hours worth of videos watched over the last year.
12-month period.
4,000 hours. That's a lot of
time. We totally have 4,000. Easily have. So, but that's we are a different format, so it's easy for us to have that.
Yeah, short reviews and short videos makes it much harder.
And right then, right there, because of the inclement weather and probably a wreck or something, my internet went down. So you can find Rob on Twitter at FlailThroughs and also on YouTube. And of course, you can find his reviews at tfumers.com. And Don, good old Don, can be found on Twitter at HMRC4EVR. And you can also find him on the TFYLP podcast occasionally. Well, that's it. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?